Museum is a platform that champions diversity. Not all our programs reflect the views of the station. We encourage you to consider a wide range of information from trusted sources when making decisions about your health.
Hi, this is Bruce Lipton, and you're listening to Green Planet FM.
Kia ora, greetings, and welcome to Green Planet FM 104.6. I'm Tim Lynch, and I trust that you are doing well. I invite you to stay with me over the next hour as we discuss and find ways to take care of our unique and magnificent green planet Earth. This morning I would like to set the stage for today's interview, which basically incorporates the premise of this radio program of environment, health and consciousness. The great monotheistic religions that had emerged over time out of Judaism are Christianity and Islam, with over 4 billion people who have been influenced one way or another by the cosmology of the great creation story. In this epic, we find we are all eternal beings, supposedly living in the Garden of Eden on a higher plane in unified peace and love, and that from all accounts, we were ecstatically living in God's domain and kingdom when a fateful decision was made. And we were cast out of this magnificent paradise, and we all fell down through the dimensions, tumbling downwards until we were finally arrested on this three-dimensional plane of this planet that we find ourselves on today. That was and is slowly evolving from the mineral and vegetable and animal kingdoms up through the great apes and into the early stages of Homo sapiens, maybe Neanderthal, or maybe not, or Cro-Magnon man, where we possibly could have come in. During this so-called fall, we, being our spiritual selves, pass through the veil of forgetfulness. And so the story unfolds for us today that it is up to us to individually and collectively strive to remember and regain our connection to Source, the realm that we once dwelt in, called heaven, that divine place, paradise, and again, be at one-ment with the Creator in the higher heavenly dimensions and realms. So today, this is where we are. We're growing and learning and gaining as much knowledge as possible. Because as we supposedly tasted of a tree of knowledge back in the garden, the need now is to be able, via the journey of the heart, again reconnect as soon as possible to our multidimensional true selves and grow back into the light of who we really are. This journey called Love in Action has various names like self-realization, transformation, and inner growth. And when we, through either synchronicity and serendipity, have magic happen in our lives, this eventually takes us into the realms of becoming Christed or attaining Buddhahood or an enlightened authentic state of existence to finally break free of this three-dimensional world that we live in today. So this is one version of the story of our journey as related to us by the three great religions. On the other hand, today's hard-nosed atheistic science that measures and quantifies only that which is physical and material maintain there is no soul or essence of any kind, no God, no creator, no purpose, and that we are all here by some sort of fluke or chance, and that everything is random. The neo-Darwinists basically stating that we are here to be born, to reproduce, and to die, whilst using the rational mind of the left brain to negotiate our way through this meaningless dead universe in a fruitless battle of survival against nature, and basically to hell with the consequences. And here we all are. Fortunately, there are some very important way-showers that have incarnated onto our planet over time, many having religions come out of their teachings, though they themselves never set out to actually form a religion. Over the last century, many good people have incarnated onto our planet, expressing the virtues of connection, of family, and integrating intuition, and expressing what it is to feel, balancing the masculine energies with female energies, using art, music, sound, and delving into the invisible, with names like Nikola Tesla and electricity, Victor Schellberger and water, Teilhard de Chardin and the coming Omega Point, Jeffrey Hodgson in music forms and David hierarchies, David Boehm with holography, James Lovelock with our living planet as an organism, Rupert Sheldrake with morphic resonance, Bruce Lipton with epigenetics, Barbara Marks Hubbard, co-creation and co-evolution, Jean Houston in the full development of the human potential, and Lynn McTaggart with energy fields. And there are thousands and thousands more people who are opening us all to realize that we are energy bundles of exponential potential, able to look within and tap our inner light and also evolve ourselves to a higher order of being and to attain God consciousness once again. And this leads into our interview with JJ Hertak and his wife, Desiree, who states that he was taken on a mystical journey over 40 years ago, back up into the realm from where we once dwelt, and his book, The Keys of Enoch. On the phone from Queensland, I have Desiree and JJ Hertak, who are going to be coming to New Zealand very shortly. And JJ Hertak was the person who wrote the book, Keys of Enoch, and it unfolds a great story about how we human beings on Earth today can come into alignment with the divine unfoldment. So, kia ora, and thank you both for wanting to share with New Zealanders.
Yes, we're very pleased to be here to talk to our New Zealand friends, and we've been involved for more than 40 years in futurism, archaeology, and what we will call consciousness development that is so crucial to this stage that the human race is being prepared to experience from a higher perspective. We are being prepared to be cosmic citizens.
Very true. Yes, I understand that there is a galactic imperative happening for the human race now as we're on the threshold of great scientific and spiritual awakening. Consciousness has never been able to grow so fast, particularly in the last 20 years since the advent of the internet. And it's like global group mind that at heart, the human race are ready for the next step. And you're here to inspire us to take this next step.
Exactly. Desiree is going to speak us a little bit now.
Hi, Tim. It's a pleasure to be on your show. Yeah, we feel that there's really an upward spiral taking place around the planet, and New Zealand being a type of mystical island is part of that positive energy going on. And of course, the whole South Pacific is a very special, sacred area. It's gone through changes in the past. We see the ruins and remains of ancient cultures such as Yanaguni in Japan. But this is really now the time for the people of the Pacific Ocean area, and that's usually the pacifists, those who are sharing with peace and greater love, to really step forward and do something extremely positive. You're looking at the other side of the planet, and you have a type of chaotic situation going on right now. But we want to focus here with people being the light and coming into really understanding why they live and have been living for many years in this ancient sacred area of New Zealand.
Well, we feel very fortunate that in 1893, New Zealand was able to allow or give back the vote to a woman to basically emancipate the divine feminine and allow her a chance to be able to have her say in the world. And this is something that we in New Zealand are very proud of, solely because at this particular moment, the divine feminine needs to be heard, needs to be felt, and then we need to come into balance with her.
Yes, exactly. And we worked at the United Nations on several committees. We are aware that this is the age where the feminine principle of divinity is being rediscovered. I work with the Xavante Indians in Brazil. We are honorary members of several of the indigenous people. We represent them at the UN and also in context of their habitats that are being destroyed, unfortunately, by overexpansion, globalization, and a lack of sensitivity to the real issues. And Desiree and I will be presenting, while we're there in New Zealand, some of the names of the indigenous teaching regarding the Divine Mother, not only Pachamama, but also all of the other names that relate to rediscovering the feminine within us.
Right, so we acknowledge the power of Gaia, Mother Earth, and of course she's crying out because of the changes taking place. You see that, I know, on your southern island right now, but also in other parts of the world. But in addition to that, we also bring forth what we consider the Divine Mother, not according to any traditional religious scenario, but that of the Holy Spirit. I mean, many people talk about, you have the Trinity power, and most people don't realize that third aspect of the Holy Spirit is connected with the divine feminine, because it's creative energy that comes forth. And that's what's awakening right now, this divine creative energy. And we can realign Mother Earth, the Gaia, by the help and the assistance from the higher divine energy from the heavenly realm.
Yes, this is what we've been waiting for, because the patriarchal energy now has to withdraw and allow the matriarch to take her place. And you're in Australia at the moment and you're coming to New Zealand. What is the impetus and what you are conveying? I mean, you've covered a number of things already. How do we deepen this communication with our inner? How do we align?
Well, one of the things, and this is what we're introducing when we do come to New Zealand, it's our new book entitled The Overself Awakening. And this is saying that our physical form is really just one manifestation. We really have this higher self, this overself, and we align through connecting with that overself. Now, the overself itself is evolving, but ultimately it has a much greater picture. It has the eagle or the hawk's eye view from the heavenly realm and can help us. And we actually believe that overself is what manifests in many forms and many time realities, the physical form, to learn, to grow, to experience. And this is a key time that we're in right now. We're in a very critical time for the planet, but also a time, often sadly, when there's crisis, that's the time for transformation. And we believe we're moving into a great time for transformation. That's probably why we're all here.
Exactly. And our work has been to show through this new book the divine face of the female within the human consciousness through what we call cosmograms or cosmic pictures that relate to all world cultures that have had the concept of how the, should we say, the creative side, the multidimensional side of the human psyche has been traditionally suppressed or marginalized, and that must come forth to its own creative nature. And this joy of life, this inner experience of the divine, is showing itself to us in so many different ways. We, as professional archaeologists, are finding it in ancient artifacts that we are uncovering in the Middle East, in Central Asia, and South America. We are seeing it in the breakthroughs of consciousness with colleagues formerly at Stanford Research Institute in California, where we realize the powers of the mind through remote viewing, what is called remote communication and remote healing, have the ability to overcome the old paradigms of science that are traditionally male or scientific orientated, with simply data rather than experience. And so it's the awakening of the experiential self to a higher resonance state through music, through art, and through new science or future science that makes this work so exciting. And we have wonderful pictures or cosmograms that we're going to show with music, as well as with illustrations of some of the great archaeological explorations that we've made throughout the world.
So we're bringing through new archetypes, aligning or tuning to the great geometrical archetypes, and we're also working with sound and the resonance of frequency to alter and to enhance the geometry within our own cellular structure, within our own DNA.
Right, and some of our work, as you may know, has been in the Great Pyramid. And one of the things we did there was to actually do sound testing and to figure out the different frequencies and overtones that resonate specifically in the King's Chamber. And we believe that that perfect archetype of the pyramidal geometry is key for understanding life. I mean, even the hydrogen molecule, the basic molecule that exists throughout this planetary realm and probably the universe in its greatest abundance, is actually a type of trinity form. And so there is this energy that's present in the archetypes that we're starting to understand, and we can use. That's the interesting thing, not just to understand them like sacred geometry out there, but we know now from Professor Golog, who's building pyramids in Russia today, literally, he has 14 already, he's building more and more all the time, that he's been able to change the consciousness of prisoners in the area, and he's had statistics where actually criminal intent has actually dropped in an area where he builds a pyramid. I mean, this is showing archetypes and how they work. And we go along with that as well as the concept of using music, because our body is a resonant frequency. And when we do that, we're able to go beyond who we are and really tap into the universe around us. Just a few more words about Golog's pyramids in Russia. He's also, of course, been able to make bacteria weaken. He's been able to strengthen the immune system. And as typical of many pyramid structures, he's been able to also germinate seeds. People are going there, literally just arriving at his doorstep and going in, and they feel this like healing energy inside the pyramids he's built.
And we use music extensively throughout the world, also as a tool to raise consciousness up. What we call the heavy metal music, but music that goes really into the inner psyche, into the inner mind, into the heartbeat of compassion and love. And this is so important. We are going to illustrate this in new music we've done with our colleague Stephen Helper in an album called Sacred Name or Sacred Codes. We've used the names of God as recorded by the ancient prophets, mystics, and poets to show how there is a universality in the higher language vibration. So our work as music composers, social scientists, and researchers has been to connect the dots and to show that we are basically musical vibratory vehicles for light. And when we open the chakras of what the Christian text tells us, the seven seals, in the context of John the Divine's revelation, through higher music than the words that John writes about in Revelation chapter 14, that we will sing a new song, helps us to orchestrate a new realm of consciousness. This is the higher self or over self that shows that it's not restricted, that overcomes boundaries of space and time, that connects with the divine mind, that connects with master teachers of light from the other dimensional worlds. The great change that is coming simply is that we are architects of a new dawn, and we are shaping a new destiny by connecting the dots and realizing that we are essentially multidimensional beings waking up in a greater living universe.
Very true. It's like vibrations reach on up to become light, then through gamma out of sight. And we are an energy field in a divine universal energy field. And this is where we need to basically come into alignment with this greater divine field.
Exactly. And we've been able to work in South Africa prior to the change of the apartheid system with peoples of different tribes by using sacred music of the names of God and divine expressions to show a high resonance frequency that we can step into that goes beyond the polarizations and the cultural antagonisms that unfortunately erupt here and there throughout the world because of the old mindset that is either too male-oriented or has repressed the female sense of joy. We've done this also with the tribal nations of South America, bringing them joy and also receiving from them the tribal nation musicians, key notes of vibration that we've orchestrated into new musical form, such as our album called Agios. So we have a very extensive music library. If you go to our website, www.keysofenoch.org, you can scroll down and see we have got more than 30 albums stretching across Mother Earth from a wide variety of composers throughout the world. We realize that music is one of the missing aspects of higher awareness, consciousness raising, and also the synergy. We need to see ourselves as a new humanity, what John the Divine would call a Christed humanity, or that which has gone through the stages of dualism, suffering, isolation, into one of partnership, one of networking with positive ideas and directions, and one that realizes that we are essentially embryo gods waking up to the greater divine mind that we are part of. The inner I am that I am of the human attaches itself to the greater I am than I am of the divine mind.
Embryo gods is a lovely way of putting it. JJ, could you please tell the listeners, I was at your Brisbane talk before year 2000, where you mentioned you went into the Great Pyramid and to the main gallery, and it was all dark, and your friends and you started chanting. And would you like to quickly just tell what happened? Because I think this is very, very powerful.
Yes, to our radio audience throughout the world, we have a picture of what happened that you're referring to on the album cover or CD cover entitled The Living Capstone. So we were doing research with permission of the Egyptian government to bring in very sensitive musical devices, not only into the pyramid, but also into underground chambers. And I, as a tenor, a musician, and a composer, still had a pretty good voice at that time, and I began to chant some of the divine names in the ancient Hebrew, Aramaic, and Egyptian. And I reached a level of vocalization where the energies bouncing off the sides of the Grand Gallery created what we call a standing wave, a column, a standing wave, briefly vibrated and manifested a tremendous white spark. It was just within a fraction of a second, but it was so powerful that that was sustainable for a few more seconds. And my wife, who had a camera and also who was semi-professional, was able, because we did bring in cameras to document our sound research, was able to capture this. And it's just a brilliant photograph, a golden light filling the interior of the Great Pyramid. This was a realization that the Great Pyramid was not only an energy collector, but also an energy transducer and a musical manifestator of great sound waves. And that was a key to how the pyramid was used to alter states of consciousness, to use sound vibration in each of the chambers to orchestrate the individual into a higher state of consciousness / musical initiation. My wife was going to carry on her experience also at that time.
Right, so around that same time, when we're using these ancient expressions and sound frequencies, we actually did sweeps of white noise and pink noise to get the resonant frequency that's in the Great Pyramid. And what we found was that even though you may be hitting an audible frequency that you can hear, there's a resonant attunement or frequency that actually got sub-audible and literally put you into a type of alpha state vibration. So something in the 7 hertz range, it was going on. Even though we were generating sound at a higher frequency, it was starting to energize at a lower frequency where you're literally being able to alter the state of consciousness. Now, one of the things that I experienced, and then I've heard other people experience a similar thing, is that when you're meditating in the King's Chamber, and this is the location we're talking about, that literally it feels like the walls are disappearing. Now, they're physically not disappearing, but your consciousness is able to permeate outside the walls, and you feel like you're there amongst the stars. So this is something that has happened to several people in the Great Pyramid when they've done certain chanting and sang at certain frequencies, because their mind starts becoming attuned to the greater cosmos. We believe the Great Pyramid is at a key point on the Earth, and that the reason for that particular location and that particular resonant chamber that's established there.
So our work will illustrate this when we're with our team there in New Zealand. We'll bring some excerpts. And again, we were one of the few in recent times to actually have very sophisticated software to record this complete musical spectrum of the Great Pyramid in all of its chambers. And this is very significant because it shows that there's a musical architecture there embedded in the design of the Great Pyramid. It's just not happenstance that these sounds echoing off the walls produce light discharges or light phenomena. Now, this is a result of the way the architecture was engineered so that under proper conditions of sound, of mental preparation, of vocalization through sacred language, what I would call the language of light, the higher multidimensional language, these events can take place. And apparently, the ancient tree scientists, not only of Egypt, but those of the children of Israel that had worked on the repair and the maintenance of pyramids while they were in Egypt, brought these concepts over into the Holy Land, and many of the prophetic experiences and many of the higher consciousness experiences recorded in the symbols of the Old and New Testament reflect a higher language of vibration. As a matter of fact, if you get a copy of our Bible and go to the book of Psalms in the Old Testament, there will be in most Bibles the fact that the Psalms are to be read in a musical undertone. Namely, they are to be chanted because they evoke a certain higher states of consciousness. So essentially, there is a master blueprint of how music, positive psychology, and theology built around the symbol of the tree of life can be used by the children of Abraham to bring themselves closer together into companionship rather than into competition. That has not been followed. That has to be restored. And the indigenous people have given us cues as to how they have survived by the use of sacred music and sacred art. We must understand, because we have a very critical situation. I'm a member of several of the tribes. They've been told that as the habitats of South America are being destroyed by globalization, it's just a matter of time before this happens to the industrial centers of the northern part of the planet, and that this change that's coming is going to be overwhelming unless people are spiritually prepared to go into altered or higher states of consciousness, use unconditional love and musical energies to balance themselves into partnership.
Right, we realize that many people living in New Zealand and Australia are a little bit more relaxed than people living in, we'll say, the Northern Hemisphere. But nevertheless, many people living in the Northern Hemisphere think that time is literally speeding up at this moment. It's hard to confirm that. I'm not confirming it, but people get that feeling, that impression. And we feel it's critical that people do take the time out for singing or meditation or some way to align themselves with, we'll say, the source or with that which is around them that's more in harmony with nature. And with this, they're able to literally bring forth a healing energy into their bodies. And we feel it's extremely critical at this point in time because so much is going on the planet, and we as light workers have to be able to maintain that positive energy or our physical bodies can start to degenerate.
So we're going to illustrate this in the seminar over self-awakening by showing the actual experiments, taking people into actual areas visually where we've done this in other parts of the world. We've had the privilege of working with some of the former astronauts. We've worked with great shamans throughout the world. We work with great musicians. And we put this together in a context where we can open the higher mind. And this has to be done through the heart. It is the heart that is the most important part of the body, we believe, because it's the area that vibrates this whole network between the higher and the lower chakras. It is the area that allows us to let go and let God show us that we are multidimensional beings. Unless we have the heartbeat in proper focus, we get pulled aside with too much information, along with the information, unfortunately, grows a paradigm or a construct of information that leads to social and intellectual elitism. We found, Tim, in our work in Egypt, that the Great Pyramid has musical secrets, and that the coffer, known as the King's Coffer in the Great Chamber, or King's Chamber, vibrates under proper conditions that the human heart be permitted. And so there was a design that was orchestrated in the structure of the open coffer to remind us that this is an illustration of our human body that steps into the network or the box of space and time, and that as we vibrate our human heartbeat into higher levels of experience, our consciousness is elevated, and we realize that we're all one person. We realize that the mind is a holographic vibration that ties together the musical centers of the body with the musical centers of Mother Earth. And if we can orchestrate this through what we call the breakthroughs in new science properly, we can rapidly raise parts of planetary humanity through musical landscapes, through music, and through major conferences on the internet in conversations to go into the innermost part of the human psyche and to awaken that with a greater sense of love and purpose.
I'm sitting here at the moment and my eyes are closed and I'm allowing your voice to, in many ways, code me, and I'm going into a very, very deep and special revered place where we are. We are all connected, and I just wish to thank you, JJ and Desiree, for sharing this not only with me, but this is emanating out across the airwaves of New Zealand, and this is where unity consciousness comes in, and that change of heart that we've always desired can come into being and express itself. So thank you very much for being you just at this moment.
Well, thank you, Desiree, and I believe that we are here to bring a message of renewal and regenesis, where we are writing our own book of Genesis. And Desiree, your input at this time also is important.
I'm speaking with J.J. Hertak and his wife, Desiree. They are going to be in New Zealand on the 30th and 31st of August here in Auckland. Contact www.newconsciousness.net. newconsciousness.net.
Right. Well, one of the important things, though, that we have hopefully to give to the planet is also an interesting cosmology, because I do believe, and we've seen it all over the world, that people are waking up. They're having unique experiences. They're feeling a divine love and vibration. But to maintain that, to understand the source, they need some additional information. And of course, as you mentioned, Dr. Hertak wrote the Book of Knowledge, The Keys of Enoch, in the 1970s. Well, that was from a unique experience he had, where he actually was taken to higher dimensions. This is not channeled information. This is an actual experience. Some people in Kabbalah understand that as a type of Merkava experience, or higher experience of the heavenly realms. And this is important because we can all get in tune with nature here and feel content and great love. But then what's really taking place on the planet? Why is there all this horrible stuff going on in the Middle East right now? And I'm speaking from Libya to Iraq. You know, where is that energy coming from? Is it all from humanity, or is there really an energy that exists in space that we need to kind of bring in from the heavenly realms to quiet the energies on this planet? And we do believe that we live in a duality here, and we can see it in many, many ways. And there is a trinity power to go beyond the duality, and that is from really a divine source. And that's one of the reasons we use some of the sacred names with the musical resonance, is because it's like a telephone line. We're calling in those higher energies to work with us to transform the planet. We believe, and we've done this since the 70s, actually, energy remote viewing to parts of the world that are in need, whether it's from earthquakes like you had in the South Island or other places of the war zones, to send energy and to literally transform the hearts and minds of people there.
There's another side to the story, and as we advance rapidly into technology, unfortunately, there is over-technification taking place, and so the human body is being bombarded by electromagnetic waves and sources that are unnecessary, that disrupt the biocycles of the body, and even under some condition, one doesn't protect oneself from the Wi-Fi and certain phone systems, the mind and the body can be subject to horrendous situations of unpleasantness. And our colleague, Dr. Stephen Sinatra in the United States, has written, critiqued several studies that show us that we are being subjected to unnecessary use of technology, and what we will call the electronic seance, of putting us into a semi-conscious reality of not being keenly aware of our God-given gifts. So sacred language and what we call sacred music or super soul music allows us to go into a much higher level of feeling the vibrations to renew ourselves every day. So we build, so we see a protective mandala or a protective sacred field of energy around our body, so we're not subjected to these unnecessary uses of the cell phone and et cetera that has caused so many problems of medical imbalance. We believe that we are being prepared to make contact with the cosmic cultures that are more spiritually advanced, that have conquered the problems of technology and the imbalances that we have seen historically. So we say, deny humanity the sense of unity. We are very close to recognizing that we are universal humans waking up to the realization that our prayers, our meditations are being heard. And from our indigenous brothers and sisters in Brazil, we are told that the Star Nations are coming back. It will help us go through this quagmire of history where we seem to have too much information but not the balance. not the inner peace, and certainly not the unconditional love that we need. So we need to see ourselves, as the keys of Enoch tell us, as bow transducers, or sound vehicles whereby the greater orchestration of life and the human focus of the heart and mind together can make this great breakthrough, this quantum change that is leading us to transformation.
Right, and so it's really not only without that we are experiencing in our evolutionary path, going up into space, going into the stars, understanding who's out there in outer space, both extraterrestrials and what we call ultra-terrestrials, but there's also an evolutionary phase of the inner development of who we really are, and that's that connection to our over-self being, and that's what we're going to be talking about at this upcoming workshop and seminar, to understand that inner being that is evolving, and ultimately to realize that we come from light, and we will go back into light. This is something that many ancient cosmologists have talked about, that we really are heavenly realms. So you even take the book of Genesis, you realize that before the fall, I mean, Adam and Eve were in light bodies. They put on skins later on. And so at this point, while we consider the alpha point, and it's not the end, it's only the beginning of a new alpha as well, but omega point to a new alpha point, we are going to go back into understanding how to work with light frequencies. And part of that is the sound, part of it is the music. And this is what's so important.
So we, in essence, we come from love, and we are love.
That's right. Come from divine love, and we manifest the human-divine partnership of love. And then as we manifest that partnership, we see the infinite way that we're connected with, infinite specieshood that we're interconnected with throughout the greater universe. We don't see evolution as stopping with Mother Earth. We don't see consciousness of life stopping with this one singularity or one physical embodiment. We begin to realize that the life force that brought us into being remanifests itself just as musical notes are remanifested within a greater musical context of life. And so we're going to be showing an excerpt of work with a friend of ours, a great healer from Brazil, a man by the name of Mauricio Panizze, that I worked with many years ago, who had a spiritual contact story and was given the gift of healing through light, capital L, which I translate as luminal light, light greater than the normal solar light or Earth wave. And this great light that came through his body gave him the ability to discharge through his hands and his heart light waves that were very unusual, very powerful, very coherent, allowing for miracles to take place. He was brought to the United States by several associates and examined by myself, and I took the film snippets, which you can see in a new film called The Light Body, which we're going to show, to Jet Propulsion Lab. And that was remarkable because here the top NASA scientists working with image enhancements could not explain these very powerful light discharges that we saw coming through his body like lightning bolts of energy.
Oh, the man of light.
The title is, correct me, The Man of Light. And we are going to make this available. It's a quite an astonishing film because you see things that normally would not be seen. And you will see the scientific context of this man's life, who also illustrated his work to Shirley MacLaine when she went down to Brazil. So we have this ability to dance with the light, to be with the light, if we understand that we must be humble and naked in our sense of commitment to the human creation.
Right. So what was important is not only the fact that he, of course, he was a very gifted individual. And what happened in his childhood is this ball of light actually started following him, and he started being able to work with it. And he realized there was a higher consciousness vehicle for him to use for his healing. He actually went all the way to Germany from Brazil to study nuclear physics. And he realized that wasn't his calling. His calling was really to manifest the light. But one of the things he did is he showed that everyone really had that God-given capacity to share love, to share healing, to share light. And that was what he did towards the end of his life, to try to get other people to recognize their own power. And I think that's so important right now. For a long time, we've been kind of trapped in a five sensual world, you know, the eyes, the nose, the taste, all the sensations and stuff. And we're starting to break out of that. And we've done this a bit with our work with remote viewing, And Rupert Sheldrake is one of the most amazing people. He's told people, hey, you know, with your cell phones, see if you can figure out who's calling before you pick up the phone. And people are starting to realize they can remote view who's calling them. And they're half the time, or even more than half the time, and that's the key, they are right. They know who's calling before the person calls. So we're starting to get sensitized, even through the modern technologies, of our abilities to go beyond the five senses. And once we start doing that, we start moving into who we really are as light beings.
And this also really tells us that we are co-creators. And the man in the street forgets this in so many ways because of all the distractions. But when we start to co-create in accord with nature's process, we can make miracles happen.
That's right. And, you know, the act of co-creation is recognized through higher states of self-realization or higher awareness that there are spiritual values that need to be continued for the human race to survive and to continue the journey into the stars. And there's also global concerns. There must be a sense of commitment, a sense of direction in the use of these gifts that come with the light. Otherwise, one goes, unfortunately, into a state of, you know, theological supremacy or power where the cries of Mother Earth, the cries of the underlings, the other peoples that have been marginalized are not heard. And this is the work that Desiree and I have taken upon ourselves, is through our experiences to reach out to the world on the grassroots level, to work with situations of ecology, environment, to work with situations of higher education and new science. But we do this through art, through music, and through higher linguistics, called musical linguistics, of having the mind wake up to a higher vibratory level that is there in the whole genetic code that Russian, American, and German scientists are now realizing are part of the intricate context of the human genome. This is called by some the DNA wave. Others use it in a more colorful language that we are recipients of a higher strata or higher spectrum of information if we are naked and humble enough to open our minds as cosmic antennae, plural antennae, to these vibrations. And the keys in Enoch tell us that there's a second world of consciousness development preceding our world of physical incarnation or form. And the second world of advanced intelligence is open to us at all times through the raising of consciousness in terms of a higher commitment we make to ourselves, but also to the Creator. This is the awakening of the over-self. It's like going from the seventh seal or chakra to the eighth, ninth, and tenth, where you see the spheres of light, you see the geometries of light throughout the world that many are now seeing. You begin to see the living forms of energy, and perhaps in some instances even faces, or those of whole light beings manifest themselves in guiding these geometries of light. And thirdly, you see how these geometries of light overlap our physical anatomical body in terms of the inner tree of life. And this is illustrated through 72 chapters of the Oversoul Awakening, that we are working within different levels of the musical spectrum, different levels of the information spectrum, different levels of the paraphysical spectrum, of going from simply two-dimensional, three-dimensional beings into fourth, fifth, sixth, and even seven-dimensional beings, where we are able to process more information, see ourselves as global citizens, and begin to experience ourselves in the context of not being inhibited in working with the sign symbols or the cosmic linguistics of other levels of universal intelligence that are telling us to the crop circles, to the geometries that suddenly appear paraphysically when we do these certain musical experiments, that we are a greater musical modality. We are a greater human of the future, waking up to the cosmic design that God has given us.
Could you also talk a little about surrender, JJ?
Surrender means, of course, the ability to allow one's body to go into a sense of higher devotion, unrestricted devotion. The Sufis speak of this, the Christian Gnostics and Coptic Christians speak of this, and the Jewish mystics speak of the ability of going into kenosis, the Greek word for emptying oneself of all of the ego-centered values that are based on mere physical material circumstance, to realize that one is working with a divine mission or a divine purpose.
Right, so that's been a big problem, of course, upon this planet, that people have focused on their power abilities and sought competition instead of that humbleness that is really required to work together. And I think we're seeing this, and I know that there is, and we feel very strongly, a positive spiral taking place on the planet. Many people who are trying to work together, whether it's in physical communities or spiritual communities, are starting to realize how this happens. And it happens through not complete surrender, because we're not into that kind of thing where you have only one kind of hierarchical figure situation, but a holarchy. This is where many people are able to work together. And if people disagree, you know, how do you have a dialogue about it instead of a monologue? Most people prefer the monologue. I am right, and that's how it is. So we need that surrendering to the fact that we are all different aspects of the divine, and that we all have our own perspectives. And if we can appreciate not only our own perspective, but everyone else's perspective, that's in a sense surrendering to the collective. And we believe the next phase is really the collective messiahship, we say, where people are able to help each other and help to transform the planet. And that's how we're going to move forward. I mean, yes, there are greater hierarchies. Yes, there is the Christ vibration that will come forth. Yes, there is the Buddha that helps us with the inner awakening, but ultimately it's down to us, and it's not going to be through our powerful abilities. It's going to be through our heart ability, through our higher love.
Desiree is using this word Buddha in the Sanskrit sense of enlightenment, that there is this nature, and so people unfortunately get, shall we say, jazzed by a particular use of language that makes it inflexible. And we're saying people need to go beyond the standard metaphor to see the higher situation of self-realization that goes with every sacred expression. It's not there to champion only for the few or for self, but to share with the many and to realize that there's one human being on this planet, and we're all part of that one human waking up through the partnership with divine guidance, divine spirits, to the pathway of our physical and our spiritual form in unity and in harmony. The word in the traditional teaching of the West was Pax et Concordia, peace and harmony, and that inner peace that passes all understanding that the great apostle writes of has to be with the release of self into divine self, and that we are part of the greater. It has to also usher in a sense of harmonic balance, not in competition, but in the complementary aspect of the harmonic. In the Sanskrit, they speak of this as Atman is Brahman. Brahman or Brahma is Atman. We realize the greater and the smaller, the universal that is within us and the universal that is vastly beyond us are put into balance. So we want to have the audience be aware that the keys of Enoch are available with the color pictures or the cosmograms, and also the Oversoft Awakening book is available, beautifully illustrated, and in the context of the world cultures goes into the inner harmonics of language. That's so, so important. So again, those of you who are interested or cannot come to the New Zealand event, please go to our website again, www.keysofenoch.org. Listen to our new music, Sacred Name, Sacred Codes, and be aware that we have many wonderful artists working with us, many sound engineers and composers working with us, and many working with our archaeological and geological expeditions, who realize that the libraries of the ancients are being found.
And be aware also that we're in a state of transformation. So the crisis we're seeing is something that we can't ignore, but we can use our positive energies, our remote viewing, our healing prayers to transform. And that's part of our work as being light manifestations here on planet Earth, to change the consciousness of the planet. And you can do it certainly in your immediate presence, your family, your job, your work, the local, but you can also do it, and you should of course do it in the immediate, but you also have to do it in the global. And we can tap into not only the global mind, but also the cosmic mind. And that's so important. We have to start understanding who we are and step out of the three-dimensional, fourth-dimensional limitations that we've been living in. And when we start to do that, we gain the ability to transform creation, and we can literally transform the planet.
I'm with you there. Very, very true. Forgiveness is one thing. There's a lot of people at the moment, they're dealing with so many things and with relationships, etc. Well, everything's a relationship, really. But could you maybe just speak a little to forgiveness, how we need to let go?
Well, the sense of letting go and letting God come is a difficult turn for many people who are, shall we say, involved in social imperatives or political imperatives. These are the leaders, the elites of the world that want to change society according to a certain textual scripting that they've inherited or they've learned at major universities. And that turning process, called in the Greek the metanoia process, has to be the discovery of the greater self, has to be the global vision that comes up with the ability to step out of oneself. And there are many recipes for that, but basically it's a sense of being humbly made aware that, you know, we are all interconnected.
Also, in addition to that, if you go with the cosmology of the Keys of Enoch, since we really come from the light, one of the processes is really to heal ourselves. And that means to realign literally every cell in our being, even every atom and subatomic structure in our being, back into that original, what we call the Adam Kadmon blueprint. And that is a perfect blueprint. And when we're manifest as a child on this planet, we come in mostly with a very close to perfect blueprint. Of course, some that have some problems. But, you know, during the 40 or 50 years of life, you know, things start breaking down. But the idea is to reconnect. And then certain healing techniques, we don't side with any one of them, to connect with that higher blueprint, to bring those alignments back into our physical body. And when we do that, we're able to literally regenerate ourselves back into perfection. And that's part of our own abilities. I think that's what other healers try to do oftentimes, certainly those of the Far East, is to literally restore to the cellular structure of a body. So that's something to really think about. And that's why we need the time to meditate and to pray or whatever practice that people use, because that gives the time for the body to heal. It's interesting that we even go to sleep every night. That's another process for the body to heal. We were just listening to a speaker here who was going into lucid dreaming, and he realized that he was too busy in his body during the times of when he was, should be sleeping, that the lucid dreaming was getting too much for him. So he had to just cut it out and really regenerate his body. It's very, very important that we take the time to do that on a higher spiritual level.
We, however, have discovered that even more important is the use of sacred names of God, and that we have a whole text available, the 72 names of God, which are the principal names used in the Old Testament and New Testament, and by the mystics to heal people and to supercharge them and to do miracles. And these names in the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek are very, very powerful. They represent what we would call the Gematria Gaia, the sacred grid system of how the mothering nature of human existence can wake up more rapidly and touch the Divine Mother, the overshadowing, the overreaching aspects of the divine awareness that we are both human as well as divine in combination of partnership. That partnership, unfortunately, has been damaged by the scientific situations, largely in the West, that have told us that there is a separation between the human and the infinite mind of God, and we're now overcoming that illusion of separation between the human and the divine. We're realizing that through higher states of consciousness and higher levels of music go with the higher states of consciousness through the names of God, which were specifically given to orientate us to direct experiences with the Most High. The great library of the eternal can be momentarily experienced. The great wisdom can flow through us. The great insights of connecting past, present, and future can be realized. And more importantly, we as emissaries of light, we as workers of light, can fulfill, in some instances, what the ancient text tells us, that we are to be a light unto all nations, to all people, not just to a handful of those who may consider themselves true believers or be wedded to one particular side of the human intellectual experience. No, we have to go beyond all of that by seeing holistically that we're all connected with fantastic coats of many colors, to use the biblical expression.
So as we get near the end, let all your listeners maybe take a moment here and visualize with me the other part of the planet, literally, I guess, the Middle East. Whether you want to choose Egypt, which is also going through vast changes, Syria, the Israel-Palestinian issue, or even all the areas connected with Iraq and Libya, let us take a moment to visualize everyone who has any armament, literally putting that down. The ancient biblical texts talk about changing their swords into plowshares. And I believe if we put those weapons down or could visualize that people would do this, to take those few minutes to really align and to send energy as brothers and sisters working together in that area, we can change the world. Let's take a moment to just send that energy to that point of the world where you're thinking of right now, to put the energy forward and see the light, see the dove of peace, and see the divine spirit that we talked about at the very beginning, the feminine aspect, literally changing creation.
Let us visualize through these words the imagery of the white dove vibrating over our heads. The 7th, 8th, and 9th chakra are activated. O infinite lover, we send ourselves, our thought forms, as a dove of peace, a dove of joy, the Near East, encircling the mountains from Mount Hermon, the borders of Syria, Israel, and Lebanon, to the south, to the great pyramids of Egypt. Let us realize that we are the capstone. We are the very peak of knowledge, the capstone teaching of reconciliation and love. Let us feel in the presence of the ancient prophets the Amishadai vibration of the people of light, the people of God, the wisdom of the Christ who taught us unconditional love for all people, the wisdom of Isaiah that saw plowshares coming out of the earth, the great psalmist who tells us in Psalm 51, give us a new spirit, give us thy Holy Spirit, give us a willing spirit, as the three energized energy vehicles of body, mind, and spirit, the trinitized being, self-realize that we may step into the garments of the coat of many colors, into the presence of Melchizedek, the great angelic master who initiated Abraham, and let all the children of Abraham come together in unity and blessed assurance and oneness. And also, as we encircle the world as a dove, we see brothers and sisters in the Far East, in all the countries of the Pacific, in the South American basin. Let us rise to the occasion upon the mountaintops of the Andes, upon Mount Kailash, upon Mount Fuji, and realize that the peoples of both east and west, north and south, are unified. The dove of the north, the dove of the south, the dove of the east, and the dove of the west coming together in higher understanding that we are in oneness, being opened to the body of light and the teaching of ascension. And so we say the mantra, may peace prevail on earth and in the heavens four times. May peace prevail on earth and in the heavens. May peace prevail on earth and in the heavens. May peace prevail on earth and in the heavens. And may peace prevail on earth and the heavens. And now in the rainbow body, the body called by the great scholars, also the diamond vehicle, and in the body of ascension called by the great prophets, the Merkabah, the vehicle of ascension, may we be aware that we are being prepared to be cosmic citizens, to walk on space and time, and to understand that life, and the book of life reminds us that we are eternal spiritual beings in physical form who will come to Mother Earth to bring the song of the Spirit and the love of the Divine Mother, the Divine Cosmic Christ, and the Divine Father of all fatherhoods. Let's be blessed in unity, always in service, and always in joy. Let us go forth, as we say, four times again for the four directions of the human race. Amen, 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 and amen.
Thank you.
We send our blessings to all of you who are inspired through the work that, Tim, you represent as a beacon of light, and continue the great work. And again, for those who are hearing bits and pieces of the program, be aware that we are also working 24/7 in some parts of the world, so you can tune into us by going to our website.
And join us at the Consciousness Conference coming up.
On the 30th and the 31st of August.
Right.
I will give
off to all of you, and we'll see you at the conference or see you someplace on the internet. May we be blessed. And thank you once again for having us share these special moments.
That was J.J. Hertak and his wife Desiree. Their website is futurescience.org and keysofenoch.org. And they'll be here in Auckland on the 30th and the 31st of August in Parnell with six other inspirational international speakers. And you can buy tickets at www.newconsciousness.net at newconsciousness.net for more detail. You can listen to this program on planetaudio.org.nz/greenplanet for the next 7 days, or iPod and stream can be obtained 6 hours after broadcast on greenplanetfm.com, holisticliving.co.nz, and you can follow Green Planet FM on Facebook at facebook.com/greenplanetfm. This is Tim Lynch in the spirit of Aroha, say Harira.
E taia te feratika, o tātoe, o tātoe, tara 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 ke tī. E taia te feratika, o tātoe, o tātoe, tara 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 ke tī. E taia te feratika, o tātoe katoa, o tātoe, o tātoe.